He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise. death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. When I walk through deep water, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, Lord, you fight my every battle, and I will not fear, for I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me, you will never leave me. I am not alone, I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You amaze me, redeem me. You call me as your own. You're my strength, you're my defender. You are refuge in the storm. Through these trials, we've always been faithful. You bring healing to my soul, 'cause I am not alone.
Father, thank you so much for your love. Lord, to know that we are not alone, that you are here with us, to guide our lives, to direct us, to be our comfort in our time of need. Father, I pray for that comfort now for every person here, for the families at home that are fighting sickness. Lord, those that have family members that are hurting in the hospital right now, Lord, I just pray for your presence to be with them. Lord, I pray that you'd guide every word spoken here now and anoint every heart to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So the last song goes very well with the sermon today about not being alone. We're going to begin in John 3:16. You've probably seen it, football games, basketball games, people holding up signs, John 3:16. It's a very familiar text. Today is what I want to talk to you about is God's love for you, and that people need to know that they're loved, okay? I'm going to tell a story in a few minutes that just really touched my heart this week and got me thinking about this. But John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." So you hear these verses, you see them at football games, Tim Tebow put it on his face, but are we really getting the message out how much God loves you this morning? Do we even realize how much God loves us? That He sent His one and only Son to be the sacrifice for us. How much love He has for us. How much love that we can have eternal life. That you think about eternal life, and I don't even think we can fathom forever in eternity, in eternity, and forever and ever and ever. And that God has made a way through His Son Jesus that we can have that eternal life. And that He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. There's so many people walking around full of condemnation, full of the. How do I want to say this? Satan has lied to so many that they think they're too far gone, that they're too lost, that God can't possibly forgive them. That God can't possibly love them enough because of all the wicked things that they've done. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God does love you and that He wants to save you. He wants you to turn from those sins. He wants you to repent and to have a relationship with Him in eternal life. But what got me thinking about all this was I heard a story today, this week, not today. And it was about a orphanage. And I don't know why this story just struck me, but it did. And this group, I missed the beginning of it. I don't know if it was a church group or just a group of people came to this orphanage with cookies and brownies and things. So all the kids could have some. And they passed them out, and they seen all the kids. They were so excited to get these goodies and was eating them up and eating them. But they noticed one little girl with her cookie not eating it. And one of the workers said, "Hun, why are you not eating your cookie?" She says, "Oh, because I'm going to take it back and put it in the window above my bed." She said, "So that everybody can see that somebody loves me, that somebody cares about me." because they brought us these cookies. I don't know why, but that just so struck my heart because I thought of all the kids. I can't imagine that. I've always felt love. I've had loving parents. I've had loving family, grandparents. I've never been in that situation that I did not feel love. But for this child to say, this proves right here that someone actually cares, that someone actually loves me. I'm not even going to eat this cookie, but I'm going to put it up so that people can see. It just so struck my heart, and it made me think of how many people in this world, maybe in that same situation, that they don't even know that there's a Father in heaven that loves them so much. And He loves you so much. If you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And we're going to read the whole chapter. And I normally don't do that, but as I got to reading and going through this, I thought the whole chapter is good. So we're going to be in Luke 15 for a few minutes here. Luke 15:1, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you the truth, that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And as we read this story, and I don't know if you guys, your Bible is red writing or not, but this is written in red. This was Jesus talking here, and he's talking about leaving and going to seek out and find the one lost sheep. And I want you to think about that is the way that Jesus is with us today, that He's eating with the sinners and He was gathered with the tax collectors. Why? Because He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to turn from their sins. And today, I believe very much that Jesus is seeking out the lost. That He's seeking out the sinners. That His desire is for you to repent this morning. If that's the state of your heart this morning, if you're lost, if you're living in sin, that this morning that the Holy Spirit, I pray right now, is knocking on your heart's door and that He's seeking you out. But how important is that for us to know that the Lord would leave the 99 to go seek us out? How important is that for that little orphan girl? How important is that for that kid at school? How important is that for that coworker to know that the Lord loves you so much that He's actually seeking you out? You know what? I was sitting at McDonald's this week eating, and a man was standing in line. He was holding a little kid, and he had two or three other little kids with him, and he's trying to pay for his food, and he dropped a dime in the floor. And I was sitting down, and I seen him kind of look, and I said, "Sir, you dropped your dime. It's right there," like pointing to him, you know. He goes, "Eh. Wasn't worth it to bend over to pick up a dime." And I'm sitting here thinking, I'd bend over to pick up a dime. You know. But it didn't have enough value for him to even bother to bend over to pick it up. Can I tell you something? There's a lot of people today that feel like they have no value. They feel like that nobody would care to come and pick them up. Nobody would care to help. That nobody loves them. But here, this is the Word of God, and this is Jesus speaking. And He's comparing it to leaving and find the lost sheep. And then rejoicing when He finds the lost sheep. Let's go on. Verse 8 says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." You think about that if you are a child of God and you've repented, that you've caused a stir in heaven. That there's been rejoicing over you repenting. And the thought of that this woman is searching carefully, intently for this. You know, when I've lost things before, and we've lost things several times, it's like searching and finding and searching and finding, and I get so frustrated when I can't find something. I can get so frustrated, and if it's really of value, I'll continue to search. But if it's not that valuable, then a lot of times, I'll just leave it, and one of these days it'll show up, or I'll go buy another one. That's not the way God is with us, that He is searching because He loves you and me so much. This whole chapter, let's continue on here. Jesus continued in verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" So he got up and went to his father. I like how it says he came to his senses. You know, there's a lot of people that's just not come to their senses yet. Does not realize that there's a better way of life. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. You guys see that while he was still a long way off? So what does that tell us? That the father was looking. The father was looking for that son. And what did he do? He didn't come and bring condemnation on him. He didn't come and yell and scream and said, "How could you have wasted all that money? How could you have wasted all this time?" He said he had compassion on him, and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. Can I tell you something this morning? It doesn't matter what you've done. Right now, if you turn your heart to Jesus, you come home. He's going to be there with open arms, with that compassion to throw His arms around you and kiss you and love on you and say, "Welcome home." And then the heavens will be rejoicing over you. Do we believe that? Do we believe it enough for ourselves? Do we believe it enough for the lost around us? Do we believe it enough to tell that little orphan child that someone does love you, someone does care more than anybody else, that you have a Father in heaven? Verse 21, the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The theme through this whole chapter, to me, is the Father's looking. The Father's looking. And He's waiting for us to come to our senses. He's waiting for us to return so that there might be a celebration, because He loves you so much. Is anybody getting this morning? We have a Father that loves us, that cares about us so much. Maybe you've had a horrible life. Maybe you've never felt God's love. Maybe you've never felt a love from a parent. or from anybody else. It's good news this morning because God is saying, I love you. Return to me. I love you. Come home. The son says, I repent. I was wrong. And then they begin to celebrate because he was lost and now he's found. He was dead and now he's alive again. There's so many people walking around and they're breathing and they're doing everyday tasks, but they're dead. They're dead in their hearts. They're dead in their souls. We have a Father in heaven that loves us very much, that wants us to return to Him. The next part of this, I was debating on whether to read it or not, but I'm going to go ahead because I think it's important for those of us that are maybe walking with God to understand. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeying your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes came home, you killed the fattened calf. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. You know, sometimes just as what we read at the beginning, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were muttering and griping and complaining about who Jesus was hanging out with. And here the son is like, you're doing all this and I've been faithful all these years. We have to be careful as believers that when we've been walking with God a long time, and there's someone that repents, there's a new Christian that comes in, and what should we do as believers? We should gather around them and we should show them love and we should encourage them. And I think sometimes the people that's been in church for years, they think, well, why is this new person getting all this attention? Why is this new person getting all this? And we can have that attitude of this son here where, well, I've been here all these years and I've never been invited to this, or they've never done this for me. And it's real easy to get that attitude of jealousy, but we need to have the attitude of this new believer needs that love. They need that support. How can I say this to, you know, I've seen it where a new Christian will come in and everybody's kind of around them and gathering and stuff. And you can just tell by some of the other people that they don't like it. They don't understand because maybe they're not getting the attention that they think that they deserve. We need to guard against that, church, and we need to be excited over the things that God's excited about. We need to be excited over the things that Jesus is excited about, and He's excited when the lost come home. And we need to be there to love and support them and know that we're still in His will, that we're still right there, and that He still loves us very much. What did the Father say to the Son? Everything that I have is yours. I've got you here. It makes me think of when I was a kid, and you know, we lived down here and all of our family lived in Michigan. And when we'd go to Michigan, they'd always do something. Like, and all the family would get together and it's like, oh, we're here and we do all these things and there was kind of this excitement because we were getting to go and see all of our family. But you know, it's kind of funny because my cousins and stuff that already lived up there, there wasn't that much excitement when they came over to see the grandparents. There wasn't that much, oh, well, they just live down the road. We get to see them all the time. But when me and Jeff came, it was like, woo, we're going to go to the park and have a big family picnic. And yeah, that's not really fair to my cousins because they were there all the time. It's kind of funny because even today, if we go to Michigan we still get together with all my dad's cousins and aunts and everything, and we'll meet them for dinner someplace, and there's this excitement of getting to see us. But then you ask, and they aren't even seeing the other nephews and grandsons and everything else who live right down the road. They don't get together to even see them, but, oh, we come all the way from Arkansas. Does that make sense? And it's kind of that way with how we can get with the church, is that a new believer comes in, you can get all excited, and you can easily forget about the person that's been faithful sitting right there all those years. But God's love is so big that He can take care of you, whether you've been a son for years or whether you're that new believer. But what I'm really trying to get out to you guys this morning is that the people around us need to know God's love. They need to know that God loves them and that God is searching for them. And that He sent His Son to die on a cross. For whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. How important is that to this lost and dying world, that God loves them and that God cares about them and that God is searching for them today? And there's so many people that don't believe that God even cares about them anymore. There's so many people that think God has let them down, that God's the enemy. I can't even remember who I was talking to this week. I guess I better remember before I share the story. Who was it? Somebody was telling me that their child was not a believer anymore. That they said God's not done anything for them, and that they've had so many things go wrong in their life. How could God love them with all these things going wrong? Church, I always go back to, we have an enemy. We have an enemy who's trying to destroy us, right? But sometimes you ever think that the things are going wrong is because you're not in God's will. You're not following God's plan for your life. When things are messing up, maybe it's because you're not following God's plan. I don't want to get into all that. We've talked about that before. I think we even talked about that a little bit last week. Thy will be done. And when sometimes God's will is discipline, sometimes God's will is a hard path. That was last week's sermon. But God loves you so much. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Do we understand that? Do we call on God in our trouble and our trials? Do we call on God when we're in the midst of the storm? Do we call on God? Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you in with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's amazing to me, that God will rejoice over us with singing. How much He cares when the lost are found, when the sinner repents and turns. How much He loves us. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. He came to seek and save that which was lost. If you're lost this morning, can I tell you something? God's seeking you out right now. It's not an accident that you're here. And if you're a believer this morning, my question to you is, do we have a love for the people like God does? Do we care enough to love those around us? Ezekiel 34:11 says, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back, the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Church, there's time after time after time that God's saying, I'm seeking you out. I'm seeking you out, and I will tend, and I will take care of you, and I will strengthen you. But the question is, are we conveying that message to a lost world around us? Are we telling the people that someone loves them, that someone cares about them? Do we love? Do we care about them? 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. God loved us so much that He sent His Son. And He's saying that if we love Him, we should love one another also. I didn't get into, if you've been to church here very much at all, you've heard me talk about what true love is. And true love speaks truth. True love requires discipline. True love is not just go and have freedom in whatever you want to do. That's not God's love. God's love, He disciplines those that He loves. We read last week that if you are a child, then God will discipline you. And if you're not facing any discipline, then you're not really a child of God. But what I really just feel in my heart this morning to just tell each and every one of you, I don't know who it's for, and maybe it's just for me, but God loves you. God loves you so much. The whole chapter in Luke, what's it saying? He's seeking. He's seeking. He's seeking you out. That's how much He cares for you. That's how much He loves you. You know, if you had a child and that child was lost, what would you do? You'd immediately begin to look for him, right? There's been times when my kids were little, and it's been very few times that we were in Walmart or something, and we're in the toy aisle or something, and I was looking at something, and I'd look back, and I didn't see him, and all at once, what happens? Your heart sinks. And I rounded the corner real quick, and there they were. I think it was one time Ethan was with us, and Travis and Brandy's little boy, and he walked around the corner, and I looked back, and I didn't see him, and my heart just sunk because I love my child and I don't want to lose him. Is this ringing through to anybody this morning? If you've ever lost some, you know, even a dog. I've went searching for dogs before. Had never had any luck finding them. But I've looked for them because I cared about them. God loves you so much this morning. I hope this morning that if you don't know God, that you'll understand that He's seeking you out. And just as the man went and squandered his wealth, but when he finally came to his senses, he thought, I need to return home. That this morning you would return home to a Father that loves, to a Father that cares. If you've never had that loving example, if you've not known what real love is, I challenge you to try. Try God. Try turning your life over to Him. Try opening up the Word. Try getting down on your knees and praying. And watch and see how God will transform your heart, will transform your mind, how God will wrap His loving arms around you. And if you've already accepted Him and you're living for Him, I challenge you, love those around you. For we know God when we love. Love those around you. Love those around you. Show that orphan child. Show that kid at school. Show that coworker a type of love like you didn't even know that you could. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know I can do nothing on my own. I pray that I was obedient this morning with Your Word. And I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would begin to speak to the hearts and minds of every believer in here. Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would begin to draw the lost person in here this morning, that they would understand that the love that You have for them. Father, I pray that we as Your children, Lord, that You would just pour out Your love upon us so that we might love those around us. Lord, just as that little girl finally had a cookie to show that someone loved her, someone actually cared for her. Lord, I pray that we would not miss the opportunities that You set before us, that we would not miss the opportunities that come along in our day-to-day life to show people love, to show people that You care and that we care. May we not become so hardened by this world and by sin and by our own evil desires, that we would not become so calloused and hard that our eyes would be closed to the needs of those around us. Father, help us to display Your love, that we might be a light in this dark world, that they might see You in our lives. Lord, thank You for loving me. Even when I don't deserve it, Father, thank You for loving me. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, have Your way now. In Jesus' mighty name.
I usually don't do a whole lot of talking whenever I'm up here, because when I talk, I cry, so I'd rather just sing. But something that God was revealing to me when Pete was preaching this morning is that He's talking about us. It's not a generic sermon for the whole world. It's for us, these people in this church building this morning. God loves each and every one of us. Personally, us. You know, just thinking, this whole week, it's been a crazy week in my life, and I've been thinking, Lord, what's going on here? My air conditioner at my house went out. My vehicles broke down. My mother-in-law's in hospice, and she's not going to last a few more days according to the doctor. And I was thinking, okay, Lord, you know, everything at work is crazy. I'm so busy I don't even have time to work for working. And so I was just thinking, this whole week, you know, God gave me that song, You Are, you know, I'm not alone, because I'm not alone and You're not alone. And when Pete's talking this morning, he's talking to you and he's talking to me, and it's real, and God loves us. And just open up your heart and your mind and just realize that it's not just a generic Sunday morning sermon to come in here and sit and just listen to what He says. He's talking to us. God is talking to us. And I'm singing the song this morning in honor of my mother-in-law because it's her favorite.
With me, and He tells me.
Perfect song to end on. He walks with you and He talks with you. God does love you this morning. He loves you very much. I encourage you this week to walk in God's presence. And show God's love to a lost and dying world around you. The true kind of godly love. Y'all have a blessed afternoon. Bible study this evening at 6:30.
I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me before. But He bids.